So, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, these things say he. Say, he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David. Somebody say the key of David. I open the door, and no man can shut. And I shut a door, no man can open. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name. Just raise your hands where you are. You don't have to stand up. Say this with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. This evening, Lord, I ask you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take my position in Christ, and I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus. I command them to leave this place, and I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They are going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. Preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do. And take all the glory in the matchless name of Jesus. Can you bend with a shout and say amen? Amen. Well, you know, we're going to have the second installment of our series and then close it today. This morning we talk about, you know, we're in a prophetic vein. We're talking about the mark that God has placed in this season. I'm not even going to give a cursory review. You're just going to have to go back to listen to the first message. But if you only have the first message, you need the second one. But if you only get the second one tonight, you're going to have to go back to listen to the first one because they're in tandem. They work together. Amen. So in the morning, we discussed the mystery behind closed doors, right? That all doors are closed by default, that doors are closed to manage and restrict access until permission is given. That doors are closed to seal to add value. Doors are closed for protection. Amen. And so forth and so forth. We talk a lot this morning, so that's just, yeah. And then you need, there's some certain doors that you have to close. Not the Lord, you will have to close them. You know. So, you know, there's a subject matter for those of you who are deep spiritually. Can a Christian have a demon? Can you be demonized? Well, technically, no, but you can be demonized. You can have a demonic influence. You can put a sign in front of your house and say no mosquito allowed. And then you open a window. I mean, no mosquitoes can't read. So don't you think that, you know, watching pornography, doing certain things are going to leave you unscathed? A spirit is going to jump on you. Well, I can't. Yes. So just be careful. So there's certain doors you have to close. The Lord's not going to close that. You're going to have to close that anyways. We're not going back. We're not going back to the teaching this morning. I want to move the conversation forward and then I want to pray. So today we're talking about the mystery behind closed doors. Now, how to open, the mystery behind open door, how to open closed doors. This morning we talk about the mystery behind closed doors, right? So Jesus is talking to the church of Philadelphia. He's clearly stating, he said, he that had the key, somebody say the key. The key of David. So how many of you know that to open a door, you need to have a key? And sometimes you may have keys to your house. How many of you ever, you know, lock your keys in your car? So you call a what? Locksmith. And they have what? They have a master key. Hello? And a master key can open any doors. It's interesting that last week we were in Ohio, and we had to go set up at a church, our table, our product table, and nobody was available. But the pastor said, there's a gentleman who can let you in, you know, with a camera. There's a system. He was not on site, but he was able to do something. Even though there was nobody there, he let us in the building. Thank you for your support. I'm trying to show you how the master key works. You know, we were in Los Angeles. We landed in L.A. We were going to preach in a church a little bit outside of L.A. a couple of years ago. And the pastor, you know, left his wife in the car running by the curbside and came to meet us, you know, at the belt there where you pick up your bags. And we got all our bags. And as we went outside, come to find out whatever happened, she locked herself out of the vehicle. And it was running, and the police officer was trying to get them to move. And the keys were in the car. Thank you for your support. This was a difficult situation. And so, you know, I drive a GMC vehicle back home in Dallas, and that was a GMC. So I told them, I have OnStar. So I dial OnStar. And all they asked was the VIN number of the vehicle. And there was somebody that we didn't see, that we didn't know, but they had the technology and the ability, even though they were not present in our circumstance, to open up a door that was shut. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. I wonder if Mr. Hallelujah is here. I wonder if Mrs. Glory is here. Come on, some people come to church to spectate. Some people come to church to pontificate. Some people come to church to speculate. But God is looking for someone that will come in to participate. Can you say amen with fire? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say glory three times? Oh my gosh, the master key. I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the master key. He said, he that hold the keys of David, hey, behold, I open a door that no man can shut, and shut a door that no man can open. He said, I am the way. There's no going without me. I am the truth. There's no knowing without me. Hey, I am life. There's no living without me. He is the master key. That's why he can open any doors. I hope you realize that your Bible is really about two men. And they're all called Adam. The first Adam and the last Adam. One Adam got us into trouble. Thank you for your support. Another Adam got us out of trouble. One Adam lost the key. The other Adam went into hell and got the key back. Come on now. I say, come on now. Come on now. It all started in the garden, a tap and a shadow in the kingdom. One Adam had a garden where he lost it. Another Adam had a garden where he won it. One Adam had a garden where he was deceived by the serpent. The last Adam didn't wait for the serpent. He went into the wilderness and met the serpent and confronted him and defeated him. Come on, somebody. One Adam said, I'm going to do my own thing. The other Adam said, no, I'm going to do the will of God. One Adam had a bride taken from his side. The last Adam had his bride taken from his side on the cross when the soldier pierced him to the side. Blood and water, that's an element of the birth. That's how the church was born, on the cross. One Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he passed from death, from life to death. The other Adam, he hung on a tree. He changed something that was an emblem of shame and suffering. He became a fruit on a tree. And he said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will pass from death to life. I am the key. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. I know traditionally you think that there were three people on the cross, the two thieves and Christ. But I suggest to you that there were four people on the cross. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Come on, you were there at Calvary. I said, you were there at Calvary if you believe. Come on. Hey, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I will live, but Christ who lives in me. Hey, on the cross, little I move out, big Christ move in. Poor I move out, wealthy Christ move in. Sick I move out, come on, healthy Christ move in. Come on, the Bible says, unless the seed falls in the ground, it abides alone. Where Jesus was going to speak about the illustration of redemption, he could have compared himself with Daniel being locked in a lion's den with lions. Oh, no, he selected Jonah. He said, ask Jonah. Stay in the belly of the earth, in the belly of the fish, 3 days and 3 nights. So will the Son of God stay in the belly of the earth, 3 days and 3 nights. Oh, he went into the belly of the earth like the seed of God's word into a tomb. It changed a tomb into a womb. Come on, the way a child is formed inside of the womb, normally it is inside out, upside down. But on the third trimester, the first thing out of the womb is the head. But I want you to know that on the third day, hey, the first thing out of the tomb that was changed into a womb was the head of a new body called the body of Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, when through that redemptive process, he broke through the cross and he broke the curse. He broke through the grave and released resurrection power. He broke through the heavens. He ascended far above principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, and he took you with him and set you at the right hand of God. on, somebody. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. And he was the first fruit. Hello? He presented his blood on the mercy seat. Remember, listen. Have you ever come into a door, into a room, where you open this door and you go through the room and you open a second door? What happens to the first door? It closes. Why? The wind filling the vacuum. Hello? So when he ascended, there was an old door that was left open. The door of the old covenant. 600 over 613 requirements that you have to meet to be righteous. Hello? It was given to show to you that you can be righteous with your own strength, with your own ability. It was a door of condemnation. It was a door of guilt. It was a door of pressure. Hello? A door of sickness. But when he presented his blood on the mercy seat, he opened up a new door, called a door of the new covenant. And he opened it with a such a force that the old door got shut. And on the day of Pentecost, when they were all together in one accord, suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. One of the names of God is Jehovah Jeshurun. The God who rides upon the wings of the wind. Oh my gosh. He was the first fruit. He was raised on the feast of first fruits. And on the first fruit, what you did is you took the first fruit, brought it to the priest with a blameless lamb, and he presented it before the Lord, and it was an indication of more to come. Oh, God blessed the first fruit because there was much. He was going to bless the rest that was coming. So he presented himself as the first fruits. Come on, the first fruit as an indication of what was going to come. He opened up a door of blessing for you, a door of healing. He went to hell and opened a door so you can get out. He opened a door in heaven so you can get in. He is the master key. I am the way. There's no going without me. I am the truth. There's no knowing without me. I am life. There's no living without me. And Jesus has the key to knowing, the key to living, and the key to going. Let me repeat that for the hearing impaired. I say, he is the key for going. He is the key for living. He is the key for doing. If you got him, you got the master key. Come on, somebody. I know you know how to call locksmith, but call in the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. At Christmas, we marvel to see Christ emerge from a womb. At Easter, we marvel to see Christ emerge from a tomb. Don't miss the message between these two opposites. If Christ can go from heaven through a tomb, through a womb, and from the womb through a tomb and go back to heaven and come back for you and complete the cycle in the second coming. Where else in your life can he go? In every one of these processes, he always opened a door. He opened the door of the womb, opened the door of the tomb, opened the door of hell, opened the door in heaven. He is the master key, and he will open any door. No wonder he said, he holds the key of David. Behold, I open a door that no man can shut, and shut a door that no man can open. He is the master key. This is your season for an open door. You can believe it. Come on. The gamel, the camels are coming. Three is chasing a foe. The gamel is chasing the foe. The rich man is chasing after the poor man. Come on. The camel, the bounty carrier is chasing after the poor man. The camels are coming. Those of you who are new, you're going to have to go listen to the message number one to understand that. Even last year's message. So that is the foundational principle about opening closed doors. Hello? That's why they say the door of your health is closing. You got 3 months to live. We were in California. A lady that had pancreatic cancer. It's a killer. They gave her 3 months to live. Her brother was just in our meetings in Auburn, California. That was 4 years ago. She was completely healed in our meetings. All her numbers are normal, and the doctors don't know what to think about it. Come on, when they said that the door of life was closing, Jesus stepped in and opened a door of life with healing, miracle. He said, I'm the resurrection, and I'm life. We were in North Carolina in September. There was a lady being treated, you know, by the doctors at Duke University, one of the best in our nation. Diagnosed with a massive brain tumor. They say it was inoperable. If they tried to take the tumor out, she was going to die. So they sent her home to die. The door of healing was closed. She was so weak, she could not even come to the meeting. But her husband's friend went to the church where we went. And he told him about the meeting. And he was brave enough to show up and leave his wife at home. And that night, on a Sunday night, I lay hands on him. So that was in September. Around October, November, we got a message, an email from her husband saying, you don't know me, but I was in your meeting. He described the situation. After you pray over me, we went back to the doctors. The doctors are baffled. The tumor is nowhere to be found. I wonder if Mr. Amen was still in the building. I wonder if Mr. Hallelujah was still in the building. I wonder if Mrs. Glory was still here. Come on, can somebody shout glory 3 times? The door was closed. Hey, Jesus, the master key, open up the door of healing. Several years ago, I was preaching in Watonga, Oklahoma. I was there for a revival. You know, back in those days, they used to do 1 week revival. So we preached from Sunday all the way to Friday. And on a Saturday, I was in a hotel when I get a phone call from one of the elders of the church. And they say that Sharon Lee has been taken to the hospital. She had a heart attack. That was the pastor of the church, a lady. And they said on her way to the hospital, she has requested that you will come and pray for her. So, you know, I got ready and they came to get me. We got to the hospital. We got there. I tried to get into the emergency room 3 times. They did not allow me to go into the emergency room because I was not a close relative. So I started to pray, pacing in front of the emergency room, praying in the spirit. I did not know what was going on. And after I prayed for a while, her husband came out. And he said to me, Guy, I want to thank you for your ministry, for everything you've done for us. But Sharon is dead. They gave her 20 electric shocks to try to raise her from the dead. And because she's been dead for so long, over 40 minutes, when a person is dead after 30 minutes, because of the low level of concentration of oxygen in the brain, even if they're revived, they'll be a vegetable. So he said, I prefer to keep the memory of my wife the way she was. So thank you for your ministry. So I kind of got a little bit upset. Don't judge me. Because I didn't understand why he would not give to God a chance. I never heard of a situation when somebody dies and somebody prays for them, there will be more dead. So I didn't understand why he would not. I was already there. And she had requested for me to come. So everybody say, Gipe is a nice guy. Why you guys struggle to say that? Are you suspicious of something? So I picked this man. And I lifted him from the ground. And I pinned him against the wall. And I said to him, your wife is only 50 years old. She died and she requested prayer before she died. And you're going to be like a coward? Let her go without giving God an opportunity. I said, you can go home if you want to. But I'm going to get in there and I'm going to pray for her. And I believe God's going to raise her from the dead. And I put him down. I did that in front of the doctors. And so I said, you're blocking me. I'm not from here. I'm her guest, her friend. She invited me here and she requested for me to pray. And 3 times you've shut me out. Can I please go pray for her? Of course, after they saw what I did to the husband. They said, please, come on in. Come on in. Hello? Amen. So here we are in the emergency room. The doctor said to the 4 nurses, please, clear. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Let him do it. So we have 2 doctors, 4 nurses, a dead body, a sorry husband. Larry started to cry, holding his wife's hand, said, why did you do it? What am I going to do with the church? So I told him, go cry outside. We don't need people who are crying here right now. We need faith. Hello? So I lay my hands, one of my hands on her head. That was my left hand. And I put my 2nd hand right here, below her chest, right there. And I started to pray in tongues. Hello? Now, let's be honest, because I know we know the outcome of that story. But let's keep it real the way it was. In that emergency room. Hello? I didn't have Robert. Hello? How many of you know this lady brings an atmosphere? And I love to do meetings where she's leading. Hello? So there was no atmosphere. How many of you know the hospital is a cold place? There was no support. I couldn't say thank you for your support. They're all crossing their hands and watching me. And so, listen, this is a teaching moment for you and for me. Many of us think that we need an atmosphere to see the power of God move. Atmosphere, they're good for special services like this. It makes the gifts flow. It makes preaching easy. It makes it easy for people to receive. But look at Jesus' ministry. Almost 99% of his ministry was not in a context of a church service. And many of you, most of the time when you will need an expression and manifestation of the power of God, is not going to be in a context of a church service. Hello? Something happens at 3 o'clock at your house and you need a breakthrough. Pastor Ed, Pastor Greg, can Robin come over to my house? Or can the worship team come over to my house? I need an atmosphere right now. By the time they get there, it's going to be too late. Hello? Listen, worship creates an atmosphere, but authority releases the atmosphere. And it has nothing to do with feelings, emotions, and all of that. It has everything to do with knowing who you are in Christ. So when I started this process of praying, there was an intimidation factor in the hospital. Why? Because the eyes of science were looking at me. Because there was no atmosphere. So I was praying in tongues. But you know the real you? You know how you can throw it down when you're by yourself? Thank you for your support. And then how you can do it when you're in public? So I was kind of like uncomfortable. I was kind of like praying, but it was more here and not here. And then suddenly I got a revelation. Why do you have these two doctors? They probably think that you're crazy. They saw you address the issue with a man who lost his wife. Pick him up from the ground, pin him on the wall, challenge him. By the way, give him credit because the following week he called me and said, thank you for teaching me how to be a man of God. So I said, why do I have to act like a dignified crazy man? That doesn't make sense. Let me show them what a real crazy man looks like. Come on, somebody. That's when I let it rip and I tell you the anointing shifted. Come on, I started to pray in tongues. Mate ke si para kasunte. Abre sote ke paraba. Jombre ke teke. Rapatoski paraba. Takarubi si paraba. When China 4 did the story, they came to interview the doctor. China 4 in Oklahoma City, it's not a Christian television station. They came to do the interview. They asked the doctor, what happened in the emergency room? The doctor said, we didn't do anything special. They said, oh, really? How could this woman come back? They said, well, the entire time, the big black man, he was speaking some kind of jungle language when the woman came back to life. I checked some of the marks. Big black man, yes. Jungle language, no. Come on, I was praying in the Holy Ghost. This thing called the Holy Ghost is more than making a sound that resembles a Japanese car. Kawasaki, Suzuki. It's more than making a sound that resembles a cartoon, something you heard in a cartoon movie. Hakuna Matata. This thing called the Holy Ghost, it is the power of God. Come on, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. And when the door of life is shut because there is a death sentence, the power of God, come on, can quicken your mortal body back to life and raise the dead. Shout glory 3 times. Shout glory 3 times. Shout glory 3 times. So here I was, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And the more I prayed, the more bold that I got. And there was a moment I stomped my left foot on the ground. And I yelled this lady's name from the top of my voice. I say, Sharon, get back in your body. Now. Sharon said she was walking in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says to her, Kippe is calling you back. Do you want to go back? She said, no, Lord. I want to stay right here with you. And the Lord said, I'm sending you back because I still have some work for you to do. Come on, somebody. As we're standing there in that emergency room, suddenly we saw her left leg move. We saw this hand go from here to here. And suddenly the flat line went up and down and up and down. And when the natural doctor could not raise her from the dead, Dr. Jesus raised her from the dead. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? He opened up the door and released resurrection power. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives. Shout glory. It was on the front page of the newspaper. It was on the front page. Put this article in front. It was on the front page of the newspaper. It was on television. Hello? So don't frown in front of a closed door. Because Jesus is the master key. Sit down very quickly. I got to give you the other side of it. This is true, and it is, that Jesus is the master key. But why don't we see that key working all the times? Can we be real here? I got to balance it so you don't stay on that side of the ditch. Now I'm going to tell you a story to illustrate what I'm trying to show you. You know, my wife and I mean, we travel the world and you know, in the pre-COVID days, we'll do world tours. We'll go to Asia and stay there for 3 months. Fly to Japan, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Philippines, China, all of that. We'll do that. We stayed there for 3 months. So we went on a trip. We went to Japan, and we were going to go straight to Singapore. We changed flights. I mean, Dallas, Japan is like almost 14, 15 hours, depending on the tailwind, headwind, and all of that. Then we changed plane, flew to Singapore. It's another 7 to 8 hours. And we got there late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you've ever been to Singapore, you know, they don't have a lot of real estate in terms of land. You know, when they build really very high buildings. So we got to our hotel, and you know, when we travel, we don't travel light. A lot of books and things like that. So we got there 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. By the time we got into our room, we were tired. And so they've given me the keys to our room. And so by the time we got up there, we felt like, you know, they're preparing us for the rapture. We were really in the heavenly places, way up there. And so when I try to put the key to open the door of our room, instead of getting the green light, I kept getting the yellow and red light. So I kept putting it in and out, hoping that if I did it a little bit faster, the key was going to work. But I kept getting a fast red and yellow light. Orange lights. The reason why I was threading the trek back down there on the earth from the heavenly places. Thank you for your support. My wife is tired. We are tired. We've been traveling for 24 hours. Less sleep. And so I go back now down there on the earth. But the problem is that I'm so tired. I'm having a bad attitude now. I'm having an attitude problem. Why do you look at me so holy and sanctified while I'm trying to confess my sins? I noticed I was having a bad attitude. So I got down there and I told the lady, I said, excuse me, ma'am. You know, we've been flying the last 24 hours. We're tired. My wife is up there. She has to wait. And you give me a key that does not work. Can you please make sure you give me a keys that work? Because I don't want to come back down here. I was trying to tell her how to do her job, you know. And, you know, the Singaporean, you know, this Asian community, you know, maybe she's like a 5'1" Chinese lady, you know, looking at me. And the way they talk English, they talk what's called Sing English. They always add la to say everything that they say. Okay, la. Mr. Pela, no problem, la. I'm going to ask you a question, la. Do you have a cell phone in your pocket, la? I said, what does that have to do with anything, la? Did you put the key in the same pocket where you had your cell phone? I said, what does that have to do with anything, la? She said, well, your cell phone deactivated the key. But Mr. Pei, no problem, la. I will activate new key for you, la. But this time, la, when you go up, la, make sure you take that key and put it in a separate pocket, la, okay, la? I said, okay, la. Hello? So she took me to school, 5'1", and I'm 6'7", and she eggs all over my face. I came there with an attitude and telling you how to do your job. I'm trying to show you something. The problem was not with the key. The problem was not with the system. What she was saying to me, Mr. Pela, there's nothing wrong with that system, la. You brought something with you, la. That's why the key not work for you, la. It's not our fault, la. It's your fault, la. It's what you brought with you, la. Hello? Now you hear me now. And many times, even though Jesus is the master key, sometimes it's what you brought with you. It's what you have in your life that stops the key from working. You're like shaka maka ma 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 shaka ma ma ma. Binding the devil. The Bible says God resists the proud. God said, don't bind the devil. It's me, I'm resisting you. Hello? Hey, can you agree with me? Let's pray for this. Okay, I won't agree with you. But if you're fighting God. Hello? If you're walking in rebellion. You're walking in disobedience. Miracle ministry, this is not magic. This is a relationship thing with a living God who works miracles. And you can't tell me that you're resisting God, resisting the Holy Ghost, violating things, spiritual laws all over the place. And you want to come to church and say, I want a miracle. And I don't understand, you know, this man of God, he's supposed to be anointed. He prayed for me and nothing happened. Hello? Now, I never blame people who don't receive in our meetings. And I teach that. You never blame the person who does not receive. But may I tell you something? Sometimes there are things that we do behind closed doors that blocks the power of God. For instance, I was in Taiwan, preaching in Taiwan, and they brought me into this high-level meeting with all these CEOs, and they wanted me to have a special prayer session for them. And I came in front of this woman, the wife of a very wealthy man. When I wanted to pray over her, I sensed a spirit of idolatry. And the Lord said to me, she was in a temple this morning. And they have so many altars there. So I stopped, and I said to her, you know, she was having breast cancer. I said, did you go to the temple this morning? She said, yes. I said, if God heals you, who's going to take the credit? The temple guy or Jesus? Hello? So I said to her, look, I'm not going to pray for you. You go home, you fast tomorrow, and I'm going to give you these healing scriptures. Come back to the next meeting. Repent from your idolatry. And I'm going to pray for you. People are like, well, can't you just be merciful? Don't you say she has breast cancer and she's a little so frail? Why can you be so mean? Hello? That has nothing to do with meanness. You know what? She went home, did what I said. She came back the next day. I prayed for her and the Lord healed her. And she said, thank you. So sometimes people say, you don't know everything. I can tell you many cases. So we got to be careful. When we are contending for miracles, for the power of God, for breakthrough, for blessings, that we also walk with the Lord. Hello? That we're not just looking for his hand to bless us, but we seek his face. If we have his face, we'll have his hands. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Hey, sometimes the key for an open door is humility. I know you think you're all of that in a bag of chips and you're a special character, but that means absolutely nothing before God. Hello? The lack of humility subtract. Artificial humility detract. Sincere humility attract. Humility is the low road to new height. Sometimes when you want to go up, you have to go down. Humble yourself under the hand of the mighty God, and he will lift you up. Oh, there's something called the lifting supernatural power of humility. Oh, when you walk in humility before the Lord, and when God decides to lift you up, even if somebody puts their head, their legs on you to stop you, hey, if God has to break their legs, he's going to do it. He's going to lift you up. He's going to bless you in spite of your haters. He might use your hater as elevation. He set a table in front of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. Sometimes an enemy in front of you is an indication that God is about to lift you up. Hallelujah. Anyways, say humility is a key that works with the master key. And many other things will work with the master key. Whatever it is, collaborate with the process. And God will do amazing things for you. Another key that you need, we're talking about the mystery behind open doors. Sometimes the problem is not with the master key. The problem is that it's something that we're dealing with, right? Yeah. Other times, Luke 11, let me just read this very quickly. Woe to you, 11:52, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Somebody said the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those who were entering, you hinder. Hello? Somebody say knowledge. Knowledge is a key. Listen, you can be a great prayer warrior. Fast and pray. We're very good at that in the body of Christ. Yes, prayer and fasting, there are keys. But praying and fasting is not going to remove your ignorance. You can be spiritual. Flow in the clouds. Hello? That is not going to remove your lack of knowledge. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. In case of the Pharisees, they didn't embrace the knowledge and they kept orders from accessing the key of knowledge. Hello? Amen. Knowledge is a seed for change. Knowledge. And I'm amazed at how many Christians don't like to read. And today, they even made it easier for you. You know, if you don't like to read, you can listen. I tell you a little secret. When I tell people I can read 15 books in a month, they say, how can you do that? Let me tell you a little secret. There's a little app there called Headway or Blinklist. They will summarize books for you. Hello? So in 30 minutes, you can read a book. Taking the key part of it. So when I do research, that's what I do. There's so many ways. Hello? You know, one of my favorite founding fathers in this country is Benjamin Franklin. Why? Well, for one, he's on the $100 bill. Don't judge me. I never met a Benjamin that I didn't like. As a matter of fact, I like those Benjamin Holy Ghost handshake. Thank you for your support. But here's what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, the knowledge you put in your head today will put pennies in your pocket tomorrow. He said, an ounce of prevention is better than a 10 pound of cure. Smart man. I had a privilege to be in a lot of people's home as I traveled the world. Just an observation. That is not inclusive. Sometimes when you go to rich people's home, it's interesting. They usually have a big library and a small TV. They love to read. Thank you for your support. A lot of time when you go to poor people's home, they have a small library And sometimes it's non-existent, but they have a big TV. Please don't raise your hand. That's not an altar call. Hello? So read. I'm telling you, there are some problems that I solve in a book that may be on my table that you refuse to. Problems you're dealing with that I solve in a book that you refuse to read. Solve in a message that you refuse to listen. Invest in yourself. Not just in the stock market. Do that as well. But the biggest investment you can do is in yourself. The child grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with men and with God. Oh, he developed his intellectual capacity. Grow and develop by reading resources, learning. That will open doors for you. Prayer is a wonderful key. And we do that well in the body of Christ. But prayer without studying the word, that doesn't work. Amen. Studying the word is a key. Amen. You got to study the word. But studying the word and not allowing the Holy Spirit to move, amen, you're just going to dry up. Amen. If you only have the words, you're going to dry up. Amen. If you don't only have the spirit, you're going to blow up. But if you have the word and the spirit, you're going to grow up. And you better be thankful that you're in a church where not only they have the word, they allow the power of God to move, because that's not evident in America today. Hello? Most churches, you have sermon net for Christian net that go home and smoke cigarette while they're surfing the net and drinking a Diet Coke. Thank you for your support. Drive-through services, 45-minute services. And we have a big church, 45-minute services. How can you cook a steak in 20 minutes and you want it to be well done? Now, the founder, one of the fathers of the mega church movement, Bill Hybel, public knowledge, Willow Creek, you know, 30,000. I mean, since the 80s, he had a mega church. He did a survey. I read an article that he wrote. He did a survey and he interviewed people in his church. He made a conclusion that many of the mega churches have failed. In his opinion, I'm not against mega church. Before you write me off, I preach on them. I'm welcome to preach on them. No problem. But here's what he said. He did a survey in his church. He found out that people were not reading the Bible. People were not praying. People were not witnessing. Hello? They asked them, why do you come to church? Well, it's a good place to connect. Think about that. And what COVID taught us, that a lot of people we thought were strong, we found out they were weak. I say you're either a potato or an egg. A potato looks strong until you put it under some hot water. It becomes soft. An egg looks soft and fragile until you put it in hot water. It becomes hard. And all of that has to do with your strength in the word and walking with the Lord. Amen. Knowledge of scriptures. Knowledge, wisdom. Now, very quickly, in Exodus 17, Moses and the Israelite are fighting the Amalekite. Joshua is fighting with a sword. And Moses says to Joshua, listen, I want you to go down in the valley and fight with a sword. I'm going to take Aaron and Ur with me on the top of the mountain. And we're going to be praying. Hello? We're going to do spiritual warfare. Now, spiritual warfare is important. Hello? And sometimes you have to have the mind of a fool. How would you like to go out to eat with a big guy like me and my cousin over here? I said my cousin because he's 6'5" or something, and I'm 6'7", so we look like cousins. Thank you very much. When men created, God created men, they were all at least 6'6". And then what happened? Men started to fall short of the glory. It's a joke. Take that out of the teaching. Don't write a letter. It's preaching heresies. Now, you like to go out to eat with big guys and you get jumped? And we said, listen, we're going to go up there on the third floor and pray to mitigate this situation spiritually. That doesn't make sense, right? Sometimes that's prayer doesn't make sense. You think that you're wasting time, but you're not. Because the Bible says that when Moses' hands went down, Joshua was losing. I suggest to you very quickly that this scripture described three levels of warfare. Physical warfare, some say physical warfare. That's Joshua fighting with a sword. That's one of the ways you're going to open doors. You're going to have to work hard. It represents working. Someone say working. So you got to work hard. Anybody that you see successful, don't let that fool you. Well, it was just the Lord. Yes, it was the Lord plus hard work. Amen. Amen. Even people in the ministry. Yes, I know that there are generational blessings, you know, but the first generation, they work hard. And that's how even the next generation got blessed. So you can never underestimate hard work. That has to be in your core principle, that you're not going to be lazy, that you're going to be excellent. Anything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. Somebody hires you and gives you a position, don't show up there and just act like you're Jesus junior brother and the Holy Ghost sheriff. Every time somebody uses profanity, you pull out your oil and try to clean the atmosphere. But when it comes to money and time, you're always looking for loopholes to cheat. Come early, leave late, taking multiple breaks to go in the bathroom and do Facebook while you're on the job. That's called stealing. Hello? Somebody gives you a job, show up early, leave late, do your job and everybody else's job. Is there anything else that I can do before I go? But work so hard that if they have to fire you, that manager will have to cry for 3 weeks because he knows he's not going to find somebody like you. And when they look for somebody to promote, they're going to promote you and everybody's going to say, amen. Amen. Somebody say hard work. That's the key. That's the key that's going to open doors for you. Hard work, excellence. Hello? But here's the thing. Some of us are very good at this. But here's the thing. We are not very good at praying. We pray occasionally. We pray only when we are in a crisis. But the scripture says when Moses' hands went down, Joshua was losing. So the reason you're not being successful in your business, even though you're gifted and excellent, is because there's a spiritual dimension that is missing. Because the enemy that is fighting you is not just natural. It is spiritual. Yeah. Isn't that when Jacob was running away, that one of his wives took the God of her father with her, and as a result, they were defeated? Yeah. The people you work with at your job, some of them, they go see psychics, witch doctors, they bring charms and all kinds of things at your job. Some of your opponents that are competing with a contract that you're trying to compete, they go out and look at the devil and erect altars, and they have covenants with evil. And let me tell you something, there's a real competition out there, but it is spiritual in nature. You better show up with more than just talent. Come on, you better go into the secret place of the Most High and dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. He said, I will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. 1,000 will fall on your left side, 10,000 on your... You better show up with an anointing at your job. Oh my God. It says in the book of Judges, that the star, when Deborah went to fight, that the star fought against Sisera. Elements of the nature involved in the supernatural. Why? Because she had a covenant with God. The earth is the Lord. And so whoever is going out using the element of the earth to manipulate the earth, to have attacks against you with witchcraft power, you can rise up in the name of Jesus, because the earth is the Lord. I have a covenant with God, and nothing can be used on the earth to work against me. I'm here to prophesy to you, wherever they take your name in witchcraft or your business name for witchcraft, it's not going to work, because you have a covenant and you have the master key. Prayer is a key. Somebody say physical warfare, natural warfare, spiritual warfare. Here's a warfare we don't talk about that is a key, natural warfare. Moses speaks to God face to face. Hello? But he still has to deal with the law of gravity. That's why Aaron and Ur are there to help him. So it's the natural warfare. That has to do with something like loving your wife. What?
Yeah.
Yes. That's natural warfare. Spending quality time with your children. Yeah. Hello? What is that? That's natural warfare, baby. Here's another one for you. Paying your bills on time.
Yeah.
Woohoo. And you know, I believe in warfare, Holy Ghost dance and all of that. Take your bill, put it on the ground, dance in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Dance in the money. But listen, but when it's due.
Yeah.
You got to believe God until it's due. But when it's due, you have to pay. Hello?
Yeah.
I've never shown up at the airport and said, American Airlines, you know, I've flown with you over 3 million miles. I'm about to go to Japan, but I'm short on money. Can you take me there? They're going to say, for you, Jesus Christ is Lord, but we don't understand cash, checks, or credit card. How do you want to pay for that? So it's a natural warfare. And it took the three to win. Not just one. So you got to have your keys line up. Spiritual warfare, natural warfare, spiritual warfare. Resting, that's another key. Exercising, it's another key. Eating right is another key. Amen. Okay, moving right along. Here's another one for you. In Luke, there's a man that comes to see his friend because he has a guest that comes to visit him in the middle of the night. And he said, I'm already in bed with my children. So Jesus said, the man will not give him what he needs because he's his friend, but because of his persistence. And he said, knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you will find. There are certain doors where, because you don't have the key, even the kind of key you have does not work. But you need to have favor with the person that is on the inside. So you need to learn how to knock. That's how that door is going to open. Don't say, well, I know I'm spiritual. I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. Listen, you need to understand the ministry of man. Somebody said the ministry of man. Look at the man at the pool of Bethesda. He said, I have no man. Not that the healing is not available. Not that the power is not moving. But when the angel stirred, he said, I have no man. And he's stuck 38 years in the same spot because he doesn't have any help from any man. You have to realize, understand the ministry of man. The ministry of man. And that simply means that the person that has the key is on the other side of the door. And they have to like you to open the door. Listen, in this world, who hates you doesn't matter as much as who likes you.
Amen.
Thank you for your support. Don't put on premium on your haters. Some of those people who follow you religiously on social media may be watching right now, spying to see how you're doing. The people who hate you, there's the one that follow you the most. So give them the best show they will ever have. In this kingdom, who hates you does not matter as much as who likes you. I'd rather be liked than to be hated. Come on.
Come on.
You know, a king dislikes one queen because she's rebellious. And he likes a little girl, village girl from Odessa, Esther. Because the king likes her, she's promoted. Come on, somebody. Who hates you doesn't matter as much as who likes you. You need to understand the ministry of man. Even God understands the ministry of man. I hope you understand that if you are a spirit, you don't have authority on the earth unless you're connected to your body.
That's true.
Faith without work is dead. Uh-huh. A body without spirit is dead.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
The reason when your spirit decides to depart is because it doesn't have a place to be housed anymore. Uh-huh. Sickness is an administration of death.
Uh-huh. It's true.
Hello? And so, in order for the word to become flesh,
yeah,
even God understood he needed to rent a womb. The first Adam, he used the earth. He was going to replicate the same thing, except that this time he used a womb.
Yeah.
The seed had to come into a womb. So he needed to have favor with a woman. Even though she was favored, she could have said no. Man is unique among all the creations of God in a sense that God has given to man the power of choice and self-determination. He will not violate your will. So he needed somebody to say yes on the earth. He needed a ministry of man. Ah, let the spirit and the bride say, come. The spirit can say, come. If the bride says no, the answer will stay in the spirit. God can say, I'm going to bless you and give you $1 million. Thank you, Lord. Somebody can be sitting here with $1 million for me. If they say, I don't really like that big black guy. It's too loud and all of that. Guess what? The answer will stay in the spirit. You get the picture? All blessings flow from God through man to man.
Yep.
I'm going to say it one more time. All blessings flow. Blessed be our Father, Ephesians 1, who has blessed us with all blessings in what? Heavenly places. But you don't need blessings in heaven.
Nope,
they originate from heaven.
Yeah.
But they're designed for the earth.
Right.
You know, I need some money when I get to heaven. Well, no, you don't.
No.
Goal is the pavement. You'll be like, what? What? They originate from heaven, but they are designed to function on the earth. But the bridge between heaven and the earth, many times, it's somebody who has the power to bless you. They flow from God through man to man. That's what you need to understand, the ministry of man. And you need to be someone who walks in the spirit of honor. Hello? Be an honorable person. And don't get it twisted. Don't just honor people that you think is because they can do something for you. Don't you're going to be nice. Be nice to everybody. Honor everybody. Because there's a man by the name of Naaman who's a powerful general, who's well liked, who's wealthy. Hello? But he has a slave girl. There's something in his life that does not work. He has leprosy. And there's a slave girl at his house that has a key to open a door of healing in his life. Hello? And she must have liked him. And if your slave likes you, that's probably because he was a good master to her. Hello? But if he was a mean boss, if he was somebody that was not honorable, all she had to do is shut her mouth and watch him die. Be careful how you treat little people. Big doors swing on small hinges. Yeah. People may not have the power to walk in your office and tell you off because you're all that powerful, but they have their own ways to punish you. And if that's what you need to be nice with everybody. You don't know who God is going to use. Don't be nice because you're looking at somebody to bless you. Listen, men are not the source. God is the source. But men are the resources that God will use. Hey, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you.
Yeah.
Who you follow will make you. What you follow will make you.
Yep.
And I know, I'm spiritual. I don't need anybody. I have the spirit of faith. Joseph could have had the spirit of faith. and fasted for 40 days and bind Pharaoh. Pharaoh will still be in his position of power. Why? He's a captain of structure and industry. And the only way Pharaoh could be a blessing in the life of Joseph, it is if God gives him a dream that he can't understand and turn his heart. I'm here to tell you, there are people who are captain of industry, a structure, and systems. You can't cast them out. Amen. Hello? Yes, sir. But God can do something in their heart and make them bless you, even though they don't know God. Amen. But you got to understand, the key is honor. The key is honor. Listen, dishonor has killed relationships. Respectfully, I know people divorce for different reasons, but one of the reasons is dishonor. How are you going to be dishonoring your wife? Dishonoring your husband? Talking to him anyhow? Embarrassing him in public in front of his friends? Hello? Dishonor, not the devil, will shut down that door. You're arrogant, prideful. You're so high and lifted up. When you walk in the church, the train of your robe is filling the temple. You think you know it better than everybody. Not teachable. Hello? You won't go anywhere with that kind of attitude. People will not like you. Yeah, they're supposed to love you, but they're not supposed to like you. You will not have favor, because the key to this is favor. Favor. Unlimited access, unlimited acceptance. Hey, that favor, when it lands on your life, when that favor is on you, even people who don't like you will say, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to help you. Why? God has given you that favor. Oh my gosh, God said to the Israelites, I'm going to give you favor in the sight of the Egyptian. You will plunder the Egyptian, ask for articles of gold and silver. One of the biggest wealth transfer in the world took place during that time. And it worked like a supernatural power, because after Pharaoh let them go, it was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Let's go back and chase them. That's what will happen. It's something supernatural. Listen, the person even don't want to do it, but God will just shine his face. Is it Esther has so much favor that everyone who saw her like her? In the name of Jesus, I pray for that kind of favor to rest upon you. That when you show up somewhere, when people see you, they will like you, and that favor will open up doors. Okay, let me bring this home. So much more, but let me bring this home. But we're talking about the mystery behind open doors. That's the reason why you will see people who get in late in the company and a job, they get promoted and you are not. Hello? You will see people, they pick somebody else over you and you say, what's wrong? I want to tell you, maybe it's your attitude. Amen. Your attitude is a librarian of your past. It tells us about something about you, where you're coming from. Your attitude is the spokesman of your present. It's the frame. It projects who you are. But your attitude is the prophet of your future. It determines your altitude. That if you have a good attitude, things will happen for you. You don't know, somebody like Pharaoh is a captain of a structure in industry. Somebody already has the whole system, the whole network. All it takes is for that bridge to be built, and you step into a whole new world. What may have taken somebody else 20 years to do, in 1 year you do it. Hallelujah. Shut open door. Oh yes, open door. In the name of Jesus, God will open doors. In this season, God will open doors. But I got to give you this last one, because this is very important. So when Paul went to Ephesus, he said what? He said, a great and effectual door has been opened to me. What did he say? But there are many. Somebody say many. Adversaries. What? In other words, there is opposition. Somebody say opposition. Yes. And this is where the fifth kind of doors, you know, door that are closed sometimes, they're closed because the enemy closes those doors because he wants to fight the plan of God. Why were there many adversaries? They were not fighting Paul, but they were fighting the plan of God for the people in Ephesus. So you have to realize sometimes that when God is sending you an assignment, the world is not going to roll a red carpet and say kumbaya. And so we sometimes get shocked when we have opposition. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe they're gossiping about me. I can't believe they're trying to undermine me. Of course, that's what the devil does. He's there to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to stop you, stop your ministry, stop your business. So you got to be prepared for that. You have to understand that when Paul went to Ephesus, if we had the time, I'm just going to summarize this. You know, if you read Acts 19, he went to preach a monotheistic gospel to a polytheistic culture. Mono, one God. Theos, God. Monotheism. Poly, many. They worshiped many gods in Ephesus. And one of them was a goddess called Diana. And the handlers, people who were promoting this religion, they had all kinds of paraphernalia, bracelet, trinkets, all kinds of stuff that they were selling. It was a huge industry. And people started to get saved. And it says in the scripture that they brought all their artifacts and they burned them. It was something like 50,000 pieces, worth 50,000 pieces of silver. The equivalent of something like $5 million. And so those people who were profiting from this religious activity got together and they decided to come up with a strategy to shut down the Apostle Paul. Hello? Listen, there's always someone who profits from somebody else's pain. Hashtag follow the money. Listen, even in medicine today, the money is not spent on the cure. It's on the treatment. There's a whole industry that is there to sell you medicine to make money. That's why on your television, you get bombarded with all kinds of ads trying to convince you that you have something you don't. Hello? In law, the money is not spent in resolution. It is spent in litigation. Hello? You want a divorce? Guess who's going to get rich? The lawyers. In America today, you can get sued for just about anything. What's that all about? Follow the money. I'm filing a lawsuit. Why? I'm coming against my neighbor. I was standing there in the morning on the porch, stretching, and his cat was there. And his cat looked at me in a funny way, and I had a headache. I had anxiety. I'm looking for reparation. You're laughing, but I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. And sometimes because you don't have the money to defend yourself, guess what? You're going to settle. Right? And guess what? Somebody's going to get paid. So hashtag, there's always someone who profits on somebody else's pain. And this was the case here. But Paul is teaching us how when you walk through a door that God has opened, and there is opposition, what you have to do. So I'm writing a book about this, and this is the name of my book. It's called Yak Attack. Somebody say Yak Attack. Oh, yes. The yard after contact. Somebody say yard after contact. Now, many of you, you know, may be or may not be familiar with this. Those of you that are football fans, yak. Yak was coined by John Madden, the former professional coach and television network analyst. He has compared this measurement by counting the number of yards a runner makes after an opposing player hits him. Hello? The next time you have the opportunity to watch a professional football game on television, look for this particular statistic. Listen, when an opposing player hits a running back, he doesn't stop. He doesn't throw the ball down. He doesn't quit. He doesn't cave in. He doesn't crumble to the ground. Then stroll back to the huddle. He doesn't let go of the ball and fumble away his opportunity. He does not turn around and run to the opposite direction. What does he do? He keeps his leg churning after he is hit. He keeps moving forward. He keeps heading towards the goal line. The great runners make most of their yard after initial contact. They score most of their touchdowns after they've already been hit. They simply keep moving forward. Somebody shout yak.
Yeah.
Say yak attack.
Yeah.
Oh, yak. Yak attack. You got to keep your legs moving. So Paul is teaching us in 2 Corinthians 4 how to practice the yak. He said, verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side. Somebody shout yak.
Yak.
Shout yak attack.
Yak.
Yet not crushed. We are perplexed. Somebody say yak. But not in despair. Yak attack. Persecuted, somebody say yak, but not forsaken. Yak attack, struck down, yak, but not destroyed. Yak attack. If you're going to score a touchdown called healing, you're going to have to do some yak attack. If you're going to score a touchdown called breakthrough, you're going to have to do some yak attack. That's why sometimes when you see people praising God and dancing, you think that it's because they have it together. No, 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 no. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. We're not praising because we have it together. It's because the things that God has brought us through. Many of us have gone through some yak attack. We kept moving. We kept praising. We kept giving. We kept confessing the word. We kept coming to church. Kept praying. And at the end of the day, God gave you a touchdown. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's how you're going to open that door. Somebody say yak. Yak attack. A great and effectual door has been opened, but there are many adversaries. So I'm not intimidated by the opposition. I'm not intimidated by what they say about me, but I'm going to keep my leg moving until I reach the healing, until I reach the provision, until I reach my breakthrough. Somebody shout yak.
Yak,
yak attack. That's why the cancer didn't kill you. Yak attack. That's why your divorce didn't break you. Yak attack. That's why, come on, you should have had a nervous breakdown and lost your mind. But yak attack. Yak attack. Yak attack. Yak attack. Paul was in prison. The devil put him in prison. The devil tied his hands, tied his feet. But that devil didn't shut his mouth when he had the opportunity to begin to complain. Oh, Paul and Silas started to praise God. They practiced the yak attack. As they praised God, the Bible says God sent an earthquake. I've been to Japan 17 times. It's a land of earthquake. I remember when we were in Japan one time, in the middle of the night, my wife said to me, "Stop shaking the bed. I'm trying to go to sleep." I said, "My name is not Samson. I know I'm a big guy, but to shake a building, that's another level." The next morning, we look at a newspaper. There was a 6.5 earthquake. And in Japan, listen, they have built the technology because they have so many earthquakes. Buildings have wheels. So when the earthquake takes place, that building is literally moving like this. It's very unsettling and very scary. You know, when an earthquake takes place, the tectonic plates shift. It doesn't matter if you're a mountain or a tree or a building, an earthquake will rearrange the circumstance. When Paul practiced the yak attack, God released some dunamis power. Whether you know it or not, dunamis is the same word that the Greek and Romans, when they wanted to describe an earthquake, they used the word dunamis. When they wanted to describe a hurricane, they used the word dunamis. When they wanted to describe the mighty might of the Roman army moving over a territory, it was the word dunamis. And I want you to know, it's the same word that Jesus used when he said, "You shall receive power." Oh, Paul and Silas, pray and practice the yak principle in the prison, and God sent an earthquake. And the result was what? All doors were opened. Someone that the jailer was going to kill himself because he thought he lost all the prisoners because the power of the earthquake opened up all the doors. If you have 100 doors in a prison and you have the key, it will take you at least an hour to open all the doors. But when the power of God hit that building, not one door, not two doors, not three doors, all doors were open. I came to prophesy tonight that as you practice the yak attack, all doors, come on, spiritual door, financial doors, relationship door, doors of favor, I stand up, I open it up tonight. Stand up. Shut all doors. Shut all doors. Shut all doors. Shut all doors. I open. In the name of Jesus, this is the month of March. I declare March miracles. March miracles. March miracles. All doors are open. Financial doors. Spiritual doors. Come on, if you believe in God for open door, get out of your seat tonight. I say, get out of your seat. If you believe in God for open door, come forward. Move your legs. Move your legs. Practice the yak. Come on. I say, practice the yak. Keep your leg churning. I prophesy somebody is going to get a $10 million touchdown. I say 10. I say 10. I say 10. I say 10. Somebody's coming out of debts. Yak attack, come on. Touchdown. Somebody's getting a healing. Yak attack. Yak attack, move your legs. In the name of Jesus, yak, breakthrough. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors, yak. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Yak. Yak attack. Yak attack. It's a new season. Yak attack. Yak attack. Favor. Houses. You're going to sell houses in the name of Jesus. Yak attack. Yak attack. Yak attack. Breakthrough. Come on. God's going to open doors for you. Oh, open doors. Breakthrough. Miracles. Millions of dollars. Breakthrough, miracles, yak, 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 breakthrough, miracles, breakthrough, breakthrough, miracles, yak, breakthrough, open door, favor, favor and grace. breakthrough. Millions of dollars breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Oh my God. Shift. Shift. Breakthrough. Yuck, yuck, yuck. 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 Yuck, yuck. Oh, sing that.
Well, it's a new day. They got me on. A fresh anointing. Oh, it's here.
Yeah.
Today is the season of power and prosperity. It's a new season.
Listen to this. The man at the pool of Bethesda said, I have no man. Someone say, I have no man. Not that the healing was not there. Not that the power, I have no man. But you know what? Jesus became the man. He said, take up your bed and walk. In the name of Jesus. Jesus was a destiny helper. In the name of Jesus, whoever has the power and the leverage to bless you. Pharaoh, Joseph interpreted the dream of the butler. His life didn't change. He still stayed in prison. He interpreted the dream of the baker. His life didn't change. But he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. In one day, 25 years of waiting was wiping away. Was wiped away. Why? Pharaoh is a captain of industry. He's a captain of a structure and a system. He has the power to bless. You're going to be second in command in the entire land. Hey, you get the second chariot. I keep the first, you get the second. And in one night, Joseph moved from zero to breakthrough. From rag to riches. I'm about to release something prophetically over somebody who wants to receive it. In the name of Jesus, whatever industry you are in, there's somebody who has the leverage, the power over a structure and a system, and their letters or their words have great commendation. In the name of Jesus, I call them tonight. The earth is a universal point of contact. As you're standing here, they are standing somewhere. The earth is the Lord and its fullness thereof. In the name of Jesus, may the power of the Holy Ghost cause them to gravitate towards you now. Shout amen. Shout amen. In the name of Jesus, may you receive a phone call this week that will change the history of your business, the history of your ministry. In the name of Jesus, may you receive an invitation that will open up a new season in your life. I prophesy good news. 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 camels are coming. The bounty carrier is coming. The one who carried the reward is coming. Somebody with the power, somebody with the money, God is sending them your way. Come on, begin to rejoice and dance if you believe it. I said begin to rejoice. Somebody begin to rejoice and dance in the name. Over this church. Over this church.
Season of power. Prosperity. It's a new season.
I'm going to release one more. Listen to this. Elisha was the successor of Elijah. But for whatever reason, people were in the school of the prophet. They didn't believe that he had it. Hello? You can say, you know, you can see somebody and say, hey, they got it. You can look at a basketball player, 7 foot, hey, he looks like he has it. Hello? Now, if you see somebody who's 5'11", they said they're a great basketball player, you're like, I gotta see it. Hello? So sometimes you can look like you have it, and sometimes you can look like you don't have it. Obviously, they were doubting. They were doubting Elisha's calling. Listen to what it says. We are going to see if the spirit of Elijah really rests on Elijah, on Elisha. So they were not sure. So he didn't look like he had it. But when Elijah left, he grabbed the mantle. And the sons of the school, they were looking. And he took that mantle. And he struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the Bible says the water split up. It parted tighter and tighter. And listen to the response. The people from the school of the prophet said, surely the spirit that was on Elijah rests on Elijah. In other words, they saw a sign. I say they saw a sign. A sign that was a prophetic confirmation that power has landed, that favor has landed, that breakthrough has landed. Some of you, God has called you to be millionaires, billionaires, influencers. God has called you to do things, and right now when they look at you, they say, I don't think they have it. But I'm prophesying, whatever sign heaven needs to release on the earth in your life, so people will know that power has landed, favor has landed, breakthrough has landed. I prophesy, let that sign fall now. Where is the God of Elijah? In the name of Jesus. Oh my God, shall I receive that sign? I receive it now. I receive it now. I am a sign. Listen to this. Do you realize that the people of Nineveh, they worship Dagon, a god that is half fish and half man? So when Jonah came out of the fish, he was a sign. He came out of something they worship. Come on, somebody. God made him a sign to a nation, to a generation, and they turned to God. It was so powerful that the king called for a fast. He said, even your animals are going to fast. Come on, somebody. in the name of Jesus. Not only a sign is falling on you, but God will make you a sign. I say God will make you a sign. You're going to be a sign for the blessing, a sign for the power, a sign for favor, a sign for breakthrough. When people see you, they're going to praise God. Shout glory. Come on, those of you online, I'm going to release this over you. In the name of Jesus, raise your hand and receive the power, the anointing, the glory. Let the same grace that is moving here, let it fall on you online. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, you may be seated. Woo! Are you blessed tonight? Oh my God. Blame Robin. Hallelujah.